Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms. Again tonight, Psalm number 89, and we'll read a couple of verses here, and then we'll read another psalm that's very familiar, a portion of it. Psalm number 89, verse number 1 and verse number 2. I said this morning, if the Lord continued to lead, I was going to try to give a message upon the mercy of God. I'm glad we have the mercy of the Lord manifest to us. And Psalmist David and the different ones that wrote the Psalms, David is not the only one that wrote the Psalms. There are different ones, different people. But most of the Psalms are related to David, and we call them the Psalms of David. Chapter 89 is of another person, Ethan, the Ephraite. He writes this psalm and says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Here we find, he says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Thank God tonight we know a little bit about the mercy of God. As we preach this morning, and this message sort of goes right in line with this morning's message, as we have been established on that solid rock, certainly it has been because of the mercy of God that He has given to us favor and has given to us the blessings of salvation. In Psalm number 23, that very familiar psalm that most of us would be able to quote a lot of it, at least we're familiar with that, in the last verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad, thank God, we have a dwelling place, and it's because of the mercy of God. He says, surely, goodness and mercy, those two things, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We mentioned this morning, and we have seen it many different times, that the Lord is truly worthy of our praise because of His excellent name, because of His wondrous works, His power, His matchless grace, His infinite wisdom, His wonderful Word, and His sovereignty. All those things wrapped up in the Lord are those things that would make us be able to praise Him for all that He has done for us. His name truly is wonderful, and His works are marvelous above our very thinking. Of course, His power is beyond our imagination. People think that nations are powerful, but there's nothing in comparison to the power of God. And so tonight I want us to look at this, one of these gifts that God has given to us, and it's just simply the mercy of the Lord. And that is a gift that God has given to each of us that are saved. As a rule, when you deal with grace or mercy, you have these things that work together, and most of the time we give definition concerning these two, that grace is getting what you do not deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And tonight we are talking about the mercy of the Lord, in that we do not receive what we deserve. As we look around the auditorium tonight, and as we look around when we're with a congregation of God's people, we are looking at hell-deserving sinners. Every one of us tonight, doesn't matter who we are or where we're from or any of the background of our personalities and our families, when we look at each other, we find and we see that we all deserve an eternity without God. But God loved us so much that He gave His Son. And because of His mercy, we are now headed toward heaven. Because He gives to us that which we did not deserve, and that is His mercy. I think of the verse that's in the book of Psalms also that says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou would visit him? What is man? What is man that God would even consider us? God knew what we were before we were born, before we would ever come into existence, but yet, even knowing all the things about mankind and knowing the terrible actions of men, God still loved mankind and God sent His Son. And that's because of mercy. That's because of His love. I'm glad many years ago God came to where I was. And in His mercy and His grace, He made me a new creature in Christ. He made me a believer. We are called Christians. And so, therefore, the Lord has given us that. So I want us to look at the Bible and take a biblical look at this subject of the mercy of God just for a few minutes and get a fresh idea and a fresh look of what God has done for us. We can certainly understand that these words that the Scripture gives us, the word mercy is found 276 times in 261 verses. The word mercy is plural, is found 44 times. The word merciful is found 40 times and in 36 verses. So much of the Scripture, many, many verses in the Bible, deal with the subject of the mercy or the mercies of God. And so we want to look at it tonight and just primarily have a Bible study and look at these things concerning the mercy of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 100 and verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting." What a wonderful thing to know that the mercy of God never runs out. It never grows short. It never falls short of its accomplished goal. And the Bible says His truth endureth to all generations. So from the very beginning of time until today, there has been the mercy of God given out, and His mercy is everlasting. And then His truth endureth to all generations. Every generation has had the truth of God. Every generation somewhere in this world, there have been people that have had the truth of God's Word and know what God has for them and know the mercy of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 136, verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Thank God tonight, over and over again, His mercy endureth forever. If you look at Psalm 136, just turn over there, we'll look at it. I could tell you, but sometimes it's good to look at something. In Psalm number 136, you have 26 verses here. And each verse concludes with the same message or the same phrase. And that is, "His mercy endureth forever." In these 26 verses, 26 times, the psalmist gives reference to the mercy of the Lord enduring forever. "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endureth forever." And every verse has the same phrase at the end of it, "His mercy endureth forever." It seems as though the psalmist wants us to know that His mercy endureth forever. It seems as though the Holy Spirit of God and the inspiration of the Scripture wanted us to realize that the mercy of God has no end. There's no conclusion to it, and it continues on for mankind. And so His mercy endureth forever. It's everlasting. Not only is the mercy of God everlasting, but the mercy of God is unchanging. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." It is because of the mercy of God that we are not consumed. That's why I said a while ago, every one of us are hell deserving sinners. God would be just and God would be right. God would be right on target if He consumed us, if He destroyed us, because we're wicked, evil sinners in His sight. But yet His mercy endures, and so therefore His mercy is, it's because that we are not consumed, and His compassions fail not. The Lord is a compassionate, our God is a compassionate God. He sees us and knows what we need, and He deals with us and He helps us by His mercy. And there's scriptures that tell us His mercy is abundant. There's much of it. There's no shortage of it. The Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Joel 2:13 says He is a gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And so those verses there in Numbers and Psalms and Joel tell us that the Lord is merciful and gracious, and His mercy is abundant. It never ends. It never runs out. Thank God it's always there. If I need His mercy today, I can use it, and there'll be just as much available tomorrow as there was today. If I use His mercy tomorrow and have to have something given to me because of the mercy of God, then He'll not grow tired and He'll not grow short of that. He'll take care of me every day of my life because His mercy endureth forever. And His mercy is abundant and His mercy is supernatural. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, a New Testament verse concerning this, a very familiar verse. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the New Testament talks about the mercies of God. And because of those mercies, we are to present ourselves to the Lord not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice, doing something and accomplishing something for the Lord. And so Paul says, I beseech you, or I beg you, I give you understanding that the word beseech there is to beg and to really put emphasis on that, that we are to present ourselves by the mercies of God, a living sacrifice. The sacrifice of serving the Lord, the giving of ourselves, the servitude of the child of God, and that we are to do, and we do that because of the mercy of the Lord. And so tonight, the mercy of God is inexhaustible. It just continues, and it's never, never exhausted. It never runs out. Nehemiah chapter number 9 in verse 27. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of the enemies who vexed them in the time of their trouble. When they cried unto me, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies. That word manifold means many. It's not exhausted. It's much abundant. Because of the manifold mercy, thou gavest them saviors and who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. And by the same thought, He has given us one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has delivered us from our enemy, the wicked one of Satan, all by the mercy of God. Remember now, the mercy of God is mercy not getting what we deserve. Grace gives us another thought. Grace is getting what we do not deserve, but mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell, but because of the mercy of God, He delivers us from that and He gives us safety and security and manifold mercies. Many of them. Never is it exhausted, and it is always demonstrated. Our God is merciful. So the Scripture is full of Scripture after verse that tell us about the mercy of the Lord. Ephesians 2:4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Because, why? He's rich in mercy. The word rich there means abundant. Now the word rich means has plenty. And so our God is rich in mercy. He has all that we could ever imagine. Has more than we could ever use. And He is our Lord. So thank God tonight. The psalmist said, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. David understood that the goodness of God and the mercy of God was following him everywhere he went, and as their struggles came, and as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God's mercy is there to help us. He's there to guide us. And no wonder the psalmist here, Ethan says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. That means that's my part of it. His mercy is forever, and so therefore I will sing of His mercies forever. And there will be abundance of that. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. That's what we do. That's what we are to perform in our Christian life, is to make these things known unto the generations that are to come. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible is found in Psalm number 78. Psalm 78 tells us that we are to open our mouth and that we are to tell those things that have been told to us, that our children might know those things and that the children to come might also have knowledge of God. The Bible says there in Psalm number 78, For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We are to tell generation to come of the mercies of the Lord. And here we find that the psalmist says we're to make these testimonies of Jacob, which is none other than the Word of God, were to make those known unto their children. Notice verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. So here's our children's generation. And the only way that their generation can know about the Lord is that my generation teach them and tell them. And so we find there is a continual process of teaching and training the generation that is to come. And so we make them known to our children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. And so here's the next process. It's not just the children that we see, it's the children we do not see. It's those whom we have never met. It's those whom will be born, that we're to tell the things, the testimony of the Lord and the mercies of God, so that the generation to come, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. So here's the process. Here I am. Here's my children and their generation, that they might tell the generation to come that have not yet been born, that they might tell their generation. It's a continual process of teaching and training by the people of God that He tells us in verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God. The reason we do what we do, the reason we have churches, the reason we have Christian schools, the reason we have all that we do, the reason we do everything we do is that they might set their hope in God. Everything around us is telling us to put our hope in everything that's physical, something we can touch. You can't go anywhere unless you see lies. It's amazing. We were in a park this past Friday, and a very beautiful park there in Cincinnati. You can walk across a bridge from Newport into Cincinnati, and we took the grandkids and we walked over to the play area. And they have a big, long walkway, and it starts out, I forget it's according to which direction you're going. It starts out and has a little plaque in the concrete, and it talks about 49 million years ago and gives you something. You walk a little farther and it's 89 million years ago. You walk a little farther and it's 120 million years ago. Everywhere we go, we are bombarded with lies. Now that's a lie. That is not scientific. That is a theory. That is a lie. Someone asked one of the candidates, I don't know which one it was, I guess it's Governor Perry, why don't you believe in true science? He's a creationist. And somebody said, why don't you believe in true science? Well, he does, if he's a creationist. I'm not speaking for him, but that's the way I understood it. Well, I'm a creationist and I believe in real science. My Bible starts at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you don't go back any farther than that. You can't go back farther than the beginning. There's nowhere there. Somebody talks about the pre-Adamic race. There's no such thing as a pre-Adam race. Adam was the first man, according to the book. And so we have these things that are given to us as truth. It's accepted, and you can walk that trail in that beautiful park and right along the riverside, and everywhere you walk, you're bombarded and faced with lies. But the Lord has told us to teach our children the testimonies of Jacob. If we teach our children, then they have the responsibility to teach their children. We teach our children. I was taught by my parents. I was taught by my church. Pretty much what I believe is because of what my parents and my church taught me and showed me in the Word of God. And so I tried to teach it to my daughter. And I pray she's teaching it to her children. They are very active in their church. They serve in the Lord. And they're teaching their children. We got there this past Thursday, and they had the last day of their Bible school, and Brother Joe Decker was there. If you have Brother Joe, you're going to get something interesting. And so we find that we're teaching the generation that's not even been born yet, we are to equip them. We're to equip our grandchildren to teach their children that we may never see. But it's our responsibility to show them the truth so they can pass it on to the generation that is to come, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now, that's why we do what we do. Psalm number 78 is a great, great passage of Scripture in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if there is a break in that link, there's a problem. If I teach my child, and they do not teach their children, the link is broken. Because the generation to come that I might not ever know will not hear the truth because they did not do what they were supposed to do. I did my part, my child did their part, but somewhere down the line, maybe they didn't do theirs and her children don't do what they're supposed to do, and their children will grow up and never know God. It's a serious matter to know the mercy of the Lord. It's a serious matter to keep these things working because the Lord's mercy equals salvation. God is a merciful God, and so therefore He is a God of salvation. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." By the abundant mercies of the Lord, His mercy is ever present. Moses said in Lamentations about the mercy of God, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord tonight. We have the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, and if we teach our children and correctly give them the instruction, for the most part they will hear the truth and be saved and will do the same thing to their children. May God help us to do that. He saw our sinfulness and still He sent His Son. He saw our sinfulness and how wicked we were. As I said a while ago, we deserved hell, but yet He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why did He do that? Because He has mercy on us. He does not give us what we deserve. He saved us from a life of sinfulness. He saved us from a devil's hell. He saved us from eternity without God. He saved us from being separated forever from God because He loves us and because He's merciful unto us. Great is Thy mercy toward me as Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Psalm 86, verse 13. No wonder Moses said, "Great is Thy faithfulness." I love that song that's in our songbook, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Morning to morning, new mercies I see. So we find that the Lord is merciful, and so therefore He gives to us salvation. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7 reads like this. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We find there that Titus tells us that he has given us his loving kindness and the love of God and the Savior, and it's not by works that we've done. He did not save us because of who we are or what great works we have accomplished, but He saved us because He loved us and He had mercy upon us. Titus says, it's not by works of righteousness. A lot of people might think they're going to get to heaven by their works of righteousness. Well, Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You set the works of man up beside the righteousness of God and they're dirty. The greatest work that man can do is wicked in the sight of God. And yet there are those that think they can climb their way into heaven, scratch their way into eternity, just because they're good, and one day they'll say, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for those that were without strength. The Bible says He came to seek sinners. He came to save sinners. He died for transgressors. He died for murderers and blasphemy. He died for His enemies. These are people that Jesus died for. These are recipients of the mercy of God. There's verses for all of those. He died for the ungodly, Romans 5:6. Without strength, Romans 5:6. He came to seek sinners, Luke 19:10. He came to save sinners, Luke 15:10. He died for transgressors, Isaiah 53. All of those are listed in the Scripture that He came and offered Himself a ransom. And He did that because He was merciful to us. Sometimes folks get in trouble with the law and they many times appeal for mercy. And what they're saying is to the judge, please don't give me what I deserve. I plead Your mercy. Oh, thank God. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us His grace by His mercy and His love for us. Paul told Timothy, he said, that he was a blasphemer. He was injurious. But Paul says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy 1:13. Paul tells this young man, Timothy, he said, you're looking at a man as, and Paul was a great man and a great testimony to those of his generation. And through the inspiration of the Word of God, he's a great influence to every generation. But Paul told Timothy, he said, but I was a blasphemer before. I was injurious. I caused problems. I caused injury to people. But he said, I obtained mercy. Thank God tonight, if we're saved, we obtained that same mercy. We may not have been injurious to people. We maybe were blasphemous. Whatever the position of our life was before God saved us, we obtained mercy and He's made us a new creature. He's given us life. So, the Lord is merciful in His salvation. The Lord is merciful in His provision. Psalm 78 said, so He fed them according to the integrity of His heart and guided them by the skillfulness of His hand. This is what God did for the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness. He did that by the integrity of His heart, or the mercy of God. God has been so good to us. We could spend a whole lot of time tonight just, if we'd be honest, it'd take a long time for us to list all the good things God has done for us. Sometimes we forget them. Sometimes we don't think too much about them. But you know, I dare say every one of us could testify tonight, the Lord has never let me down. There's been times I didn't know what was going to happen and how things were going to work out, but the Lord's never let me down. Sometimes in the early ministries, we don't know what's taking place, and there were times in my life that I wasn't sure what direction to go, but God never let me down. There's things that we struggle with. Over all these years, I've lived well. I think all of us could say that. We've lived well. We probably can all say we've eaten well. Probably eat better today than we should have. I've been able to pay my bills. Even before pastoring, God gave me a job to take care of those things. God's good. When I had a great need, Jesus came. Thank God tonight His mercy is there for my provisions. And if we wake up in the morning and things have changed, and I tell you what, we're just one step away from disaster. Brother Ned and I was talking about that just a moment ago. We don't have any security. There's nothing secure in this world. We can wake up in the morning and everything be gone. You see the fluctuation of everything now. The stock market up and down. I heard somebody say the American people have lost millions and billions of dollars in these last 2 weeks. Not me. I don't have anything in that. So if you don't have anything in it, you don't have anything to lose. But you know, it affects all of us. It does affect us. And so we could get up tomorrow and we could get up in the morning and everything be wrong. But my God's still merciful. My God's still real. My God still owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He can take care of His children, and He does that by His provision. Psalm 4:8, we have protection by His mercy. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We hear of wars and rumors of wars all across this world. And we dwell pretty much in safety in this country, and I thank God for that. I hear read missionary letters that they're in their apartment or they're in their house, and they can hear the guns firing just down the street. We don't have that here for the most part. Now, there are sometimes things break out, but they're talking about revolution. And I read of missionaries having to be hurried out of the country. There's one missionary that just recently got home, and they had to come out under the dark of night because of the turmoil and the problems that's in that country. And if they had stayed, they probably would have lost their lives. We don't understand that. We have security and safety here. And it's by the mercy of God that we have His protection. But you know, in the will of God, you can be in the midst of a firestorm and God can protect you. When you're in God's will, He can help you. He can take care of it. And even though the bullets are flying and the rockets are shooting, God knows how to protect His people. He does that by His mercy and His love for us. The Lord always has said about His people, He said, how oft I would have gathered you as children together, even as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but you would not. The Lord always desires for His people to be secure. So the Lord is merciful in His salvation, He's merciful in His provision, He's merciful in His protection, and then lastly tonight, He's merciful in His forgiveness. Thank God we are forgiven. I've seen the signs, I'm sure you have. We're not perfect, just forgiven. And that's how true it is. We're not working on perfection. That's the Lord's part. I thank the Lord we can have forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him that to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest pertaining to God. Here the writer of Hebrews says that the Lord, it behooved Him that He be made like unto His brethren. Jesus Christ has always been in existence, the Son of God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. John tells us, and we beheld His glory. John said, we handled Him, we talked with Him, we knew Him. And here the writer of Hebrews, which I think was Paul, he said it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be merciful, that they might see the mercies of God in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the Word of God. 1 John 1:9. He's faithful. Thank God He's faithful. He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. No matter how terrible we fail Him, He forgives. No matter how much we go against Him, no matter how wicked we are. Somebody said we just get wickeder and wickeder. It's not a good word, but we get pretty wicked sometimes. No matter how wicked we get, and how much we fail Him, and how many times we fail Him, He's always there to forgive us. Now, He may forgive us with chastening and chastisement, but He forgives us. And I'm glad to thank God my sins are gone. He tells me not only that He forgives, but He tells me He forgets. He doesn't hold grudges. Have you ever seen somebody say, yeah, I know them. I forgive them of what they did to me, but let me tell you what they did. Well, that's not a very good attitude. Well, the Lord says, yes, I forgive him, and I don't remember what he did. Cast it in the sea of His forgetfulness. And cast it as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered again. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness. and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'm glad God doesn't have recall on that. He has chosen not to remember my sins. See, God can do what He wants to do. Somebody said, well, God can't forget. He can forget if He chooses to forget. He has the ability to erase it. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, I'll tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. Where are they? They're underneath the cross of Calvary. Underneath the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad when Jesus died a sacrifice and showed mercy to mankind, I'm glad He did not die to give me an atonement. Atonement was a pushing forward or a covering. Sometimes we get terminology mixed up. We use it wrongfully. But Jesus didn't make an atonement. Jesus took away my sins. He covered. He didn't just cover them. That's what atonement is. When Noah went into the ark, when they was building the ark, the Bible says they pitched it inside and outside with pitch. And that word there is the same word that's used for an atonement in the Old Testament. Same thing. It's a covering. Well, the Lord, when He died, He didn't just cover my sin, but He threw them away. Thank God for His mercy, for His love, His watch care over you and I. And therefore I can sing, my sins are gone. I can sing, great is Thy faithfulness. Every morning, every day, newness comes to us as a Christian, as a believer, because of the sure mercies of the Lord. He's merciful to us in that He does not give us what we deserve. And we better be thankful that He does not. Let's stand together tonight. Let's sing, Brother Haley.